Go right ahead.
Okay, we'll call to order the Town of Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission for Wednesday, January 4th, 2023. All the members are present? Yes. And so the first agenda item is adoption of the agenda.
Is there... I move we adapt the agenda.
Have some discussion on that.
Okay.
I think we need to add to the agenda to get a new vice chair.
Well, we have that right there.
It's here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on this one.
It is already. Yeah, they just forgot the last one. Yeah.
That ends my discussion.
All right. So is there a second to adoption of the agenda?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, next item is adoption of the minutes from June 1st, 2022 regular meeting. My goodness, I almost misspoke. Oh, yeah.
Right?
We're supposed to have seven.
Mm-hmm.
No, is it six or seven?
Connie's in there, too. We got seven. We should have seven.
We're missing one.
Gary Glossop is missing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't need a motion to excuse.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Or not. Yeah, it's up to you.
Okay, well, let's do the minutes first, and then we'll come back to that.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion. We accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we also need to make a motion regarding Gary. I was incorrect in saying that everybody was present. We are missing member Gary Glossop. Have we received any information about...
We have not.
Have not, okay. Is there a motion to excuse Gary from tonight's meeting?
So move. Did we excuse him? Gary?
We excuse him? Okay. Second. Is there a second? Okay. It's been motioned and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. Next item is the oath of office for full member Connie Markle. Connie is now a full member, sworn in, and authorized to vote and do all the things that are fun to do. Next item is election of chair and vice chair positions. Before we get started, I am willing to continue to serve as chair of the HPC. We don't meet very often, but that's certainly the decision of the commission. So is there a motion for chair and vice chair positions?
I make a motion that Craig Galbraith continue as chair of the HPC.
I second.
Are there any further discussions to that point? No. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Vice chair position. Jim was vice chair previously, but he's already moved himself out of that seat. Is there a motion for vice chair?
Make a motion that Joe Barlock be vice chair.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, excellent. All right, that brings us to the core of tonight's meeting, which is a quasi-judicial hearing of a certificate of appropriateness application filed by Mr. Paul Robertson on behalf of Kerry Beach Properties. Let me go ahead and do a couple things. I think the starting point is to identify people that have standing in this case and then have them sworn in.
Chairman, if you just follow your order of business, read the parts that are there to be read out loud, there'll be an opportunity for you to swear the witnesses. And let's not get into the technical issue of standing.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, there is an order of business. I've modified it a little bit, and so let me go ahead and read my modification here. This is a hearing before the Kerry Beach Historic Preservation Commission under the Town of Kerry Beach Code of Ordinance, here and after KBC 15-08.08.080.C on the application for a certificate of appropriateness COA filed by Paul Robertson on behalf of the owner, Kerry Beach Properties. Robertson and owner collectively referred to herein as the applicant. For an addition to the existing commercial building located at 122 North Fort Fisher Boulevard within the Downtown Preservation Overlay District, parentheses, Preservation District. I'm also going to add this, that this matter requires the body to conduct a quasi-judicial hearing, which means the body must find facts and basis decisions upon the application of the ordinance standards slash criteria and the competent, substantial, and material evidence received during this hearing. All testimony must be competent, not repetitive. Speculative opinions and general expressions of fear of potential increases of crime, traffic, or impacts on property values do not constitute competent evidence. So next item is instruction to commission members. Before I do that, I do have to ask the members of the commission as to whether they have done any site visits in this particular case, communications with the applicant, whether they have any close familial business or other relationships with the applicant or other affected persons, whether they have a financial interest in the outcome of the case, or any other information relevant to determining whether there is a conflict of interest or not.
Chairman, I think that's covered in item number 3 of your order of business.
That's fine, but if we could cover that right now, I'd appreciate that. Is there anybody that has a conflict of interest?
So, Chairman, I have no conflict of interest, but I did do a site visit to look at it both from the west side and the east side, just to know what we were looking at.
And I did as well, but that's it. No conflict of interest.
Okay, there's a site visit. Okay, I'm going to do the instructions to the commission, but based upon two members having done a site visit, I'm going to ask the attorney after the instructions to the commission members as to what we need to do regarding that issue. Instructions to the commission members. In making factual determinations, commission members may only consider competent, material, and substantial evidence from parties participating in the hearing. Hearsay and non-expert opinion testimony, including opinions related to diminution of property values and traffic safety issues, may not be considered in making findings of fact. The commission may make findings of fact based upon the design standards for the preservation district and the review criteria set forth in KBC 15.08.12.K. The commission shall also identify the evidence supporting each of its findings. Under KBC 15.08.120.J.4, the commission's findings shall indicate the extent to which the application is or is not compatible or harmonious with the preservation district, and based on its findings, act in open session to approve with modifications or deny the application. In addition to the general standards set forth in section 4.1 of the design standards, section 4.2 therein provides specific standards for additions to commercial buildings as follows. And then we have a list of specific standards. Okay, then you come to the thing we've already polled. I'm going to ask the attorney based upon that. Yes.
for clarification, the specific standards for 4.2 are embedded in your order of business for your reference.
Right. But I don't need to read each one of the standards.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure the members knew it was there in front of them.
Okay. All right, then we've already polled the commission members, and we have two members that said they have participated in a site visit.
The issue is whether they are impartial or not. If they've already formed an opinion, then they're biased. If they're impartial, they can continue on in this hearing.
Okay, I'm going to poll the two members then. Do you consider yourself impartial in this case?
I definitely consider myself impartial. I just want to look and see where it was, what it looked like.
Absolutely the same.
All right. Okay, so the next would be admission of oath to all testifying. And I believe this also, does this also include the town employees for the oath?
The town clerk is certainly going to testify. I don't know about the building inspector, the applicant.
Is there anybody here opposing this application?
Rather than get into whether they're opposing or not, other than the town clerk, the possibility of the building inspector, he can answer that question. And I would ask this person to identify herself for the record, and does she expect to testify with respect to this matter? And then those are the only ones, barring anybody else speaking up.
Okay. And could you identify yourself?
I'm Lisa Robertson. All is out of town. I'm his mother, and I am the president of all those businesses down there now since my husband passed away.
Okay.
So you want to swear in the town clerk? Is your last name Robertson?
Robertson.
Miss Robertson and possibly Mr. Batson.
Okay, let's go ahead and do the swearing in. Oh, I have to swear him in? Oh, I'm sorry. okay, I'm sorry. Take a good picture for this. Okay, raise your right hand, place your left hand on the Bible, and repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
All right, thank you. I wonder how long they would have stayed like that. Okay, just as a point of reference, too, we do have a court recorder here, and so it's very important, having done many depositions myself, in fact, I've done two this week alone, it's very important that we do not talk over each other for the court reporter, that's going to be very frustrating for her, so if you do want to say anything when we get into questions or cross-examination or anything like that, please try to maintain a single conversation for this.
And make sure you use words and not gestures.
Yes. Do you want to add anything as the court reported to this?
No.
Okay, very good. All right. We'll start with the town clerk, Mandy Sanders, who will present evidence of compliance with procedural requirements.
Everyone already has copies of those. This is my exhibit number 4, and this is an email regarding the agenda for the hearing.
And And this is labeled Exhibit 4, because Exhibits 1, 2, and 3 have already been provided?
That's correct.
Okay.
Just for the record, Exhibit 1 is certification of mailing, Exhibit 2 is certification of posted notice, Exhibit 3 is a complete application, and Exhibit 4 documents that the administrative materials were provided to the members of the board as well as the applicant in advance of the hearing.
Okay. Is that all, Mandy?
That's correct.
Okay. Building Inspector John Batson, if you have a report on the application.
On Exhibit 3, you'll see that I've signed the application as being, in my opinion, complete, and I received it on December 21st of 2022.
Okay, next item then is...
I have a question.
Yes.
Is that, hang on just a minute, under 1508120I, building inspector shall review each COA application under the design standards and the review criteria set forth in subsection L. Based upon the review, the building inspector shall provide a report on the COA application to the HPC. The building inspector may determine that the proposed work constitutes minor work, etc. Is there any more to report other than what the building inspector testified to?
Mm-hmm. The reason we are here is because this constitutes major work according to the design standards.
Okay. I'm going to ask the attorney, there's, you know, having read a number of things on quasi-judicial hearings for HPC, there's different times that the commission can ask questions. Sometimes wait to the end, and sometimes we can ask questions during the process. How do you...
That's a good question, so to speak. Couple of things. Anybody participating in the hearing can ask questions. Now, what that means on behalf of the town is the commission members. Mrs. Robertson, on behalf of the applicant, can also ask questions. You can ask those questions at any time. The order of business has it set forth that they present their case and then you ask questions. I don't think it matters if you interrupt during the presentation to ask the questions. The ability is to ask the questions and give responses. But you will notice in particular on the order of business that we do not close the hearing under item 9 until after completing item 8. That's where you make your findings of fact. And I've set it up that way because you may have additional questions while you're making your findings of fact. So the bottom line is you all can ask questions, she can ask questions at any time, including the process where you make your findings of fact, then you'll close the hearing and deliver it.
Okay. Are there any questions for the building inspector, Mr. Batson? Here, go ahead.
Yes. I've got one, John.
Yes, sir.
There any chance that you found anything regarding runoff problem?
This is an existing building that is currently 3 stories tall. And the ground floor area, half of it is an office laundry area, and the other half of it is an open carpet work. So there is no new impervious coverage proposed. This is simply closing off one bay of the carpet work that is existing now.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any further questions for Mr. Batson? Okay. Next item would be the applicant to present evidence in support of the application. So if you would like to come up and...
I don't know what that means. I thought y'all might...
Maybe just talk about, I mean, if you kind of want to present what you're suggesting. Can we bring up the pictures? That might be easier then. Is that good now? Okay, good.
I want to remind the commission that the applicant has to prove compliance with the standards. Now, the applicant may do that on her own, and I'm not sure that's going to happen in this instance. That can also be established by proper questioning on your part of the applicant based on the application and also the building inspector. But this, that process has to occur.
Okay. Yeah. So this is your opportunity to present your application.
Well, just like John said, it's an existing building, and you have the office and the laundry room here. We want to, this was a carport, and that's a carport. We're going to enclose that to make the laundry and the office room bigger. We need to put two new washers, two new dryers, and make the office bigger. That's it.
Could you speak a little bit about the exterior design of what you're proposing?
And the materials.
And the materials?
Did Paul give you that, John?
Yeah, I'm happy to speak to that. You can do
that. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
If you'd like to, Chairman, we could go through the specific standards one by one, and I can give you my opinion on whether or not they are compliant or not, and Ms. Robertson can correct me if I present this incorrectly.
I think that's would be very appropriate.
So if you go back to your order of business, you'll see 4.2 specific standards. Should I read them? Why don't we just like to read them and then ask for my comment?
Yes. Yeah. Why don't you go through each one of the standards A through F and then give us a comment and one a description as to what they are doing, as well as perhaps your opinion regarding the satisfaction of this requirement.
So new and renovated, this is letter A of 4.2 specific standards. New and renovated commercial structures and buildings shall be designed with an architectural scale that is consistent and harmonious with the neighborhood and shall utilize details and elements, including but not limited to...
Sorry, can you slow down?
I'm sorry.
With harmonious with the neighborhood.
Harmonious with the neighborhood. And shall utilize details and elements, including but not limited to cornice lines, belt courses, fenestration bands, height, material selection, roof form, and street walls, which contribute to integrating the building and structure into the character of the site and the surrounding properties. The material selection and method of construction is going to be identical to what is currently on that ground floor area. That is board and batten design, and as I understand it, they are utilizing the same paint colors that they have now.
That's correct.
So, John, so the Ms. Robinson, the board and batten design goes all the way around the back side also?
There are pictures in your application in Exhibit 3 that demonstrate that.
And John, to your earlier remark that the reason we're here is because this is thought of as major, that's because of the fact that square footage is being added, or finished square footage?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I think I heard you say you're adding two additional dryers, washers, and dryers?
Correct.
So it'll be some additional plumbing, electrical,
right.
Venting for the dryer and everything like that for the outside?
Correct.
Equal to what you already have in the existing part, or just newer models of equipment? So you have existing dryers, washer and dryer?
We have one dryer and one washer, right?
So you're just adding two more similar to what you already have?
Correct.
Okay.
If I could kind of jump in, again, we're not covering interior things, but what you're actually talking about is the exterior of venting these things.
Yeah, I'm trying to get an understanding that whatever is there now, she's duplicating it with the new washers and dryers, so the exterior part will look very similar.
Is that what you were going to mention, attorney?
Exactly.
Okay.
We're not concerned with the interior.
So the question had to do with the exterior components of the dryer.
Okay. Yes, that was correct.
Okay. And the response is that it's going to be similar?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And just to clarify, the intended use of these washer-dryers is for people staying at the motel, not for people coming in.
Again, I'm going to have to make sure that we focus on the exterior components and not use or interior. And again, I'll let the attorney.
But doesn't the POD also have to comply with the B1 rules, and that would be a B1 usage?
We're not concerned with use B1 okay. or interior. This is a commission hearing on the exterior elements and features okay. of the proposed project.
Gotcha. Okay. Are there any questions regarding 4.2A as presented by John and the applicant?
Just one other question. In the new addition, will it have any, there's no doors or windows in the new part?
On the site plan, I do not see any new doors or windows. Double check.
Yeah, I think that's mentioned somewhere where there is not.
It says no exterior windows or doors are to be added, just wood siding.
That is correct.
So the okay, got it.
Any further questions regarding 4.2A as presented by Mr. Batson? Okay, design standard 4.2B.
New and renovated commercial buildings and structures shall be designed so that a pedestrian's experience of the district's unique character is maintained. I'd argue that no one had even noticed that this addition was built after it is completed and painted.
Are there any questions regarding 4.2B? About the pedestrian experiences of the district's unique character.
Yeah.
Component 4.2C.
There shall be no drive-through, curbside, or takeout operational services constructed within the district, provided that walk-up service windows shall be permitted. That section C is not applicable to this application in any way.
Any questions for Mr. Batson regarding 4.2C?
Exterior features within the district shall not contain commercially oriented architectural features, which are typically seen on franchise buildings, such as golden arches, clowns, and/or towers, facades, uneven construction, designed to emphasize franchise images, signs, or logos. There will be no signing, no signage, no clowns, no uneven construction, I don't believe.
No golden arches.
Anybody have any questions regarding 4.2D? Okay, item 4.2E.
All buildings on K Avenue between Atlantic and Fort Fisher Boulevard shall be commercial in nature. While mixed uses are permitted for multiple story buildings, first floor of any such building shall be commercial in nature. Section E is not applicable to this application.
Any questions for Mr. Batson regarding 4.2E? Okay, 4.2F.
A signage for all commercial buildings and structures within the district shall be exterior lit only, provided that small open window signs are permitted, provided they comply with the sign regulations of KBC Chapter 15 zoning. There are no proposed signage changes in this application. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Any questions for Mr. Batson regarding 4.2F? Okay, I'm going to open this up to the commission to ask any questions that of Mr. Batson or the applicant. If there's any questions that people might have.
No.
No.
In fact, let's go ahead and poll. I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions.
No questions.
No questions.
No questions.
Connie?
No questions.
No questions. Okay. Does anybody else in the hearing have any questions? Does the applicant have any questions?
No, I do not.
Okay. And there's nobody here, again, point out, that is opposing or is speaking other than the applicant. Okay, I think we're on item number 8 in the process. Summary of evidence and findings of fact. Is that correct?
Yes. We have a decision worksheet. You want to take a copy and pass it on down.
Since the hearing's open, I'm going to ask a couple questions of the applicants. The subject property is owned by Curie Beach Properties, LLC?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and I'm going to ask, I believe, the attorney, just to clarify this, that it says Mr. Paul Robertson is or is not authorized by the owner to apply for the COE, but Mr. Robinson is not here, so.
Well, I'm sure Mrs. Robinson can answer the question. I understand that if you go on the secretarial website, you see Curie Beach, and it's all still Mr. Mike Robertson.
Yeah.
And although it's common sense tells us what's going on, I think it's important for the record to indicate that either Mrs. Robertson or Paul Robertson was authorized by the LLC to make the application. I just want that fact in the record. And there's nothing in the application other than the fact that he signed it that speaks to that. So I think it'd be appropriate to ask Mrs. Robertson if Paul was authorized to submit this application on behalf of the LLC.
Yes, he was.
Okay, very good. Next one is the subject property is or is not located in the downtown preservation overlay district. It is. And then now we're in the finding of the facts related to the proposed addition to the existing commercial building does or does not comply with general standards, as we've discussed. So, our discussion has to be dealing with the facts,
and it would be appropriate for you, actually, it's required of the commission to state, to summarize the evidence, which you then will determine supports the finding of the facts.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the summary so we don't have to have all six members do the summary, and then anybody could add to these. Is that okay?
Yeah, but the item you're on is talking about section 4.1 of the design standards. We discussed section 4.2 of the design standards.
So you have the design standards there in front of you. Mm-hmm. 4.1. My recollection that the crux of the matter of 4.1 is that the proposed project is consistent and harmonious with the neighborhood.
Yes, that's correct.
So well, let's go ahead, and since that is part of the thing, we have our general standards, which we haven't spoken to yet. We have the general standards as 4.1. I'm going to ask the attorney, given that we have general standards, do we need to go through each one of the general standards also in addition to the specific standards for this?
I think what needs to be done is, number one, summarize the evidence, which I think essentially constitutes the application, and then determine amongst yourselves whether it's consistent with 4.1 and 4.2. You don't need to walk through each one. If there's consensus that it is, then you can entertain a motion to and make a decision on the application.
Okay. Let me go ahead and summarize what I was writing, and feel free to add or change this. That the application appears to be identical continuity in design. It has the board and batten design, which is existing already. The paint is consistent and the same with the existing building. The venting on the outside is similar to the existing venting. There are no new doors and windows being added. That pedestrians will not notice any difference. That issues related to drive-through, curbside, signage are not applicable, since there will be no additional signage or uneven construction designs. The first floor will be commercial in nature, so it's not applicable. Regarding 4.2E, and I've already mentioned that there's no signage changes. So those are what I wrote down as my findings of fact. If anybody wants to add to that or subtract from that, or...
I think if you stick to the decision worksheet and start with number 4, you can work yourself through the general and the specific.
Where's the decision?
Again, you don't... I don't recommend walking through each standard. I just would recommend a determination of whether there's consensus that the standards general and specific have been met.
But I think we need to identify the standards. You know, identify the facts. And that's what I was trying to do, is identify the facts before we decide whether they're consistent.
Yeah, and I think you've done that, and now we're into, okay, now how do we feel about it?
Well, we just need to say does or does not at this point.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, but I just want to see if there's any more facts that people wanted to add before we get on to discussion.
No.
No? No. Connie, are there any additional facts?
No, no facts.
Okay. Okay, so the next one is, there we go.
So read them before, and we kind of say does or does not.
All right, so the proposed addition to the existing commercial building does or does not comply with the general standards set forth in section 4.1 of the design standards.
We believe it does.
Okay, so we, now again, I'll ask a question. Does there have to be a vote on each one of these?
No, that's a good question. Let's have a consensus on these findings, and then you'll vote by majority motion on the application.
Okay, so is there a consensus that the proposed addition, given the facts stated, to the existing commercial building does comply with general standards as set forth in section 4.1 of the design standards?
It does.
Is there anybody that disagrees with that consensus?
No.
Okay. Is there a consensus regarding the proposed addition to the existing commercial building, given the facts stated, does comply with specific standards set forth in section 4.2 of the design standards? Is there a consensus for that?
That it does.
It does. I agree.
Is there anybody that disagrees with the consensus? Number 6, the proposed addition to the existing commercial structure is consistent and harmonious with the other exterior features within the preservation district. Is there a consensus for that?
It does.
Yes, it does.
Is there anybody that disagrees with that consensus?
Now you want to close the hearing and deliberate on the decision.
Okay. Now we're closing the public part of the hearing or the hearing in general?
You're closing the hearing in general.
Okay. I'm going to say, I'll make a motion to close the hearing regarding the application.
Second.
Okay, is there further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so this is discussion.
I think it's pretty clear.
I think it's pretty clear. I think everything they're doing is exactly what's not exactly what's there.
Can I ask a question here? That the hearing has been closed. Does that mean that the court reporter does not take?
No, we've already answered that question. She continues forward.
Okay. Oh. Then we got to make sure that we're clear and we speak one at a time.
To clarify, the hearing is closed, not the meeting.
The meeting, right. Okay, so we got to make sure that we speak and don't talk over each other. So, go ahead.
Okay, I'll start. I think based on what we've heard tonight, the proposal is compliant with design standards section 4.1 and design section standard section 4.2. It's harmonious with what's there now. It maintains the look and aesthetic of the 1940s to 1970 buildings, and I'm in favor of it, and I don't see any issues.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with Joe.
Okay.
I think it's very clear, it matches what we're trying to do here, and I think I don't see any issues.
Connie?
And I agree with Joe.
Mm-hmm. I agree also.
Okay, I also agree. So I'll make a motion to return to open session. Is there a second for that?
No, you'll make a motion to approve with conditions or deny the application.
Okay, so you do that without returning to open session before?
We never left open session.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The meeting's still open.
Okay, I'm sorry. It says return to open session, so okay.
Well, that on your order of business, where does it say?
Number 11.
Yeah, that's after number 10.
Okay.
You're at number 10.
Right? All right, so is there a motion to approve the applications for the certificate of appropriateness?
I motion.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now we take a motion to return to the hearing, I guess.
To open session.
Okay. We close the hearings and okay. So is there a motion to return to open session?
And let me just advise Ms. Robertson, we're going to put all this down in a written decision, get the chair to sign it, and then it'll be delivered to you, and I'll try to do that as quickly as I can.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion to return to open session.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, very good.